of God. Imagine you are running a marathon. A marathon, you have to complete 42.185 kilometers. You have trained for weeks, for months, and you are about to reach the finishing line. But your body is aching. Your muscle is tensioned. You feel that you can no longer run. And your body is about to shut down. In the running world, the last 10 kilometers of a marathon, we call it that you have hit the wall. I wonder, in our midst, has anyone ever in our Christian life, you have walked, you have run, you have persevered, but somehow you come to a stage whereby you have tried everything, but you felt that you have hit the wall. Meaning to say that you are almost at the last distance, at the last kilometers, but you feel that you can't run anymore. What should you do at that time? Apostle Paul reminded us. He then says he pressed on toward the goal. Everyone say press on. He said he pressed on toward the goal. The question then is, what is the goal that Paul is pressing on? What is Paul pursuing? What is he chasing after? What are you pursuing and what are you chasing after? We read in Philippians 1:12, he said that not that I've already obtained this. What is this? Again, he said, I press on toward the goal. What goal? What is the this that Paul is talking about? What is this goal that Paul is talking about? Last week, in Philippians 3, I'm sure you hear about what Paul has been pursuing. Paul says in Philippians 3, he says it's the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. What is Paul pursuing? Paul's pursuit in life is to know Christ and to make Christ known. His entire pursuit in life is to know Christ and to make Christ known. Paul, the apostle, one thing he knows, one focus that he has, he said, I want to know God. I want to know the power of his resurrection. I want to know the surpassing worth of Christ. All that Christ has in store for me, all the goodness, all the joy, all the peace, even the suffering. I want to experience it all. Why? So that I may know him. So that I may know him. So today I want to talk to you about how to know Christ and make Christ known. The first is pursue growth together. Everyone say, pursue growth together. Pursue growth together. It says that not that I've already obtain this or am already perfect. One thing Paul said is that I'm not there yet. I'm not fully conformed to be the likeness of Christ. And he knows that no one is perfect. No one is perfect. Now, growth begins with admitting you are not yet complete. It is the work of the Holy Spirit. The moment we start to think that we are not good enough, that there are so many things that we can do, that we are not perfect, and that it's holding us back, it is very hard for us to look forward. You know, in the conference, we learned about the unfinished task of the Great Commissions. The whole Lausanne movement is about accelerating global missions together. We learned about this. Currently, there are 40% of the global populations remains unreached. They have little or no access to the gospel. This equates to more than 3 billion people who have never heard the message of Christ. There's decline in evangelism. Although 65 to 80% of churches teach about the Great Commission regularly, research has shown only 15 to 20% of Christians are actively sharing the gospel. Around 35 to 40% of believers rarely or never engage in evangelism. As a church, we're going to turn this around. In December, we're going to have our church-wide spiritual campaign outreach event, which we're going to talk to you more about it. It's going to be a time whereby we're going to pray, we're going to fast, we're going to reach out to the world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. And there are more unfinished tasks. Global Christianity is in decline in the West. In Europe and North America, Christianity is steadily declining. Many Western countries, especially in Europe, are seeing their Christian population dwindling, with some nations have less than 10% of the population regularly attending church. Now, do you know how many percent of the population in Australia regularly attend church? Take a wild guess. 7%. 7%. So in that conference, I was able to mingle with people around the world. On my table, we have people from the States, from Germany, and they have reported the same thing. But there is a good news, I tell you this. Same in Australia, same in overseas, particularly Western nations. The area of growth in Australia currently, especially post-pandemic, many churches have seen decline. Attendance have dropped. Many people are still watching online. They still do not want to come on site and join. The story of our church is quite unique in a sense, but also not that unique. It's unique in a sense that our church grew through pandemic. And we praise God for that. And that is a very encouraging news for all of us here. We praise God for that. It is not so unique. Why? Because the space of growth in the Western nations right now, it's actually through ethnic churches, multicultural churches, and migrant churches. Glory to Jesus. Can you give God a big round of applause? Now, what does it mean for us? It means that we have a unique opportunity as a church to reach out to those who are lost. We have a unique privilege, a call from the Lord to live out our faith, to be comfortable of who God has created us to be. Our group, we are diverse. People from different backgrounds. We have people from Hungary. We have people from the States. We have people from Kiwi, New Zealand. We have Aussie, Filipinos, Malaysians, Singaporean, Cambodian. If I have not named your nations, please forgive me. We are multi-nations, but at the same time, we all serve the one Lord Jesus Christ. Can I get an amen for that? We all serve the one Lord Jesus Christ. And in terms of the engagement gap, Christians under the age of 30 are less likely to participate in gospel proclamation, reflecting a generational gap in evangelistic engagement. Again, this house, we're going to challenge the statistic. We'll do our part. We'll do our part. At the end, towards the end of the conference, we will then ask this question. Those that are above 40, please stand up. Suddenly there's an age divide here. So I stood up. Yeah. And this is what they say. Your generation right now has the responsibility to pass down the faith of Jesus Christ to the next generation. They have their answers to sit down. They ask the next question. Those that are under 40, please stand up. If you are under 40 in this house, can I ask you to stand up right now? I'm serious, please. Can we give these people a big round of applause? Don't sit down yet. Look at me. Look at me. You are the future of this church. You are the future of this church. To those that are above 40 and to those that are under 40, I give you this commitment. More so than ever before, I am so on fire and so sold out for the cause of Jesus Christ. Young people, I'm committed to you. As a church, we are committed to sow into your life. If as your leaders, if your older ones, we have made mistakes, or when we have not been a good examples because none of us are perfect, we ask for your forgiveness. But at the same time, our church is going to be a multi-generational church. We will respect the old, but certainly we will nurture the young for the sake of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. But there is good news. There is good news. I can tell that Jesus is building his global church. Christianity remains the largest religion in the world, with around 31.2% of the global population identifying as Christians. We have around 2.5 billion people worldwide. Meaning to say, everywhere you go in the world, you find a brother and sisters in Christ. There is also a significant growth in disciple-making movements. And it's not just in a country, but in many countries. Nobody owns discipleship-making movement. That's one thing I learned. I remember going there, I can honestly tell I do not deserve to be there. Absolutely not. But I thank you that by the grace of God, when we were there, right, no matter how big or how small your church is, before the Lord our God, one thing we realized, it is the Lord who is building his church. It is the Lord that is building his church. We can see tribes, nations, people that I will never see or meet again, come and worship the Lord together. Now, as a church, we are committed to disciple making. So I'm more convinced than ever before that our church, we are on the right track. The vision of our church is we are a God-loving, Christ-centered, Spirit-filled, Word-grounded, disciple-making church. We have to make disciples. Absolutely, and then we'll talk more about this in future days. And there's growth in Global South. Christianity is growing rapidly in Africa, Asia, and Latin America. By 2050, Africa is projected to have the highest percentage of Christians globally, with Christianity thriving in countries like Nigeria and Kenya. It's amazing to worship with my African brothers and sisters in Christ. Man, we should learn worship from them. I reckon when we have worship gathering in heaven, they are going to be the worship leaders, man. I know we all worship differently, but they can sing, they can swear. I'm like, come on, brother. And the good news is this, Bible translation progress. Over 95% of the world's population now has access to the Bible in their native language. Now, with the help of AI, this will even go further and faster. We praise God for that. And I pray that in our lifetimes, that truly the gospel can reach to the ends of the earth. More good news. The Pentecostal and evangelical movements are rapidly expanding, especially in Latin America and sub-Saharan Africa. And this trend is also similar in the world. The Pentecostals and evangelicals are growing. And there is also a growing trend of missions from everywhere to everywhere. Meaning to say that missions are no longer predominantly from the West, but are now driven by believers from all continents. Now, do you know who is the second largest sending missionary in the world right now? Who wants to take a guess? Korea. Korea is the second largest sending missionaries in the world. Now, China at one stage received missionaries, but right now, they want to send 20,000 missionaries by 2030. 15 years ago, when Lausanne had the third congress. So every 15 years or so, they gather together. 15 years ago, they had it in Cape Town. 200 over leaders from China couldn't come. They were barred from leaving the country. This year, praise be to God, there are more than 100 leaders from China attended the Congress. Let's give glory to our Jesus Christ. Jesus is building his church. Jesus is building his church. The unfinished task of reaching everyone is the responsibility of every believer. When the Bible says, go and make disciples of all nations, it means that as you go about doing your normal work, people who are in the workplace, I pray for God's Spirit to empower you. In your workplace, you are the pastor in the workplace. Teachers, students, school is a place where God has called you to spread and sow the gospel of Christ. Take the call of God seriously. Now, the four most dangerous words in the global church is this: I don't need you. On the first day when we gathered together, the global church repented before the Lord. Churches, the reason why we're repenting is this. Instead of collaborating, we compete. Instead of serving side by side, we compare. Instead of encouraging one another, we criticize one another. This day, we say it's over. It's time for the brothers and sisters in Christ to stand shoulder to shoulder, to stand together and proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ together. Can I get an amen for that? And then we'll pray a prayer of blessings over the churches around us. Within 5 kilometers radius in our church, there are around 20 churches around. I pray a prayer of blessing for each of them. And this is my prayer and my dream. My prayer and my dream is that one day, in the city of KC, which is our city, that all the churches, perhaps we can start with holding a prayer rally together. Maybe one day in the city of KC, we can even hold a gospel rally together. Because until the church is one. Now remember, when Christ looks at his church, Christ doesn't just look at a denomination. Christ doesn't just look at the Catholics, the Anglicans, the Presbyterians, the Independents. No. When Christ looks at his church, there is only one church, and that is the church of Jesus Christ. In a Western value, it is so easy for us to live a life that is independent, isn't it? You know, church, we need one another in this house. I want to ask you to do something a bit cringy. Turn to the one next to you and say, I need you. Mean it. I need you. You know, when I was over there, at no time I was alone. I traveled with this pastor from Sydney. He is also a pastor. We served together. We were in the same leadership program around 12 years ago. His name is Andy. He served in Wesley Missions as a senior pastor in the international congregation. At no time, I was alone, and we are always together. And I can tell you, traveling with someone together is so much better. We encourage one another. He even helped me prepare my sermon today. He wrestled with me with the words of God. You know, I was sharing my point, and then he started challenging me. He's saying, are you sure this is what God is saying? What a beautiful thing. Iron sharpens iron. So we need each other. There is no such thing as I don't need you. Now, second thing is how to know Christ and make Christ known is to put the past behind together. Put the past behind together. Paul says, brothers, I do not consider that I've made it my own. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and straining toward what lies ahead. Now, again, Paul is using this metaphor of an athlete. He was talking about pressing forward, and now he's talking about straining forward, meaning to say that as we run this race, there will be determination required. We need grit. We need focus. There will be times that whereby you feel there's none left in your tank. And that is where we need each other to encourage one another. Because as we encourage one another, it's like adding fuel to the tank and then we can keep running forward. But before we do that, Paul says there's one thing he does, that is to forget what lies behind. Now, Paul had a questionable past, certainly. Paul persecuted the church. Paul even killed Christians. He had a questionable past. Sometimes I just imagine if I were Paul, they would be nice that I wouldn't be able to sleep. Why? I thought about the things I've done in the past. I thought about how I persecuted the church of Jesus Christ. If I'm Paul, I'd be thinking, oh, I put this godly man and woman in jail. I've ordered someone to be executed. Paul would have been overwhelmed by guilt, but yet he experienced the grace and the forgiveness of the Lord Jesus Christ that compelled him to serve God with all his life. And Paul had a questionable past. What is stopping you from pursuing Christ? Is it your past? Are these questions could be some of the things that you say? They are not good enough. You don't know what I've done. I can never be as holy as. You have no idea what I went through or what I'm going through right now. Paul says, forget what lies behind. I want to tell the story of Ruby. At the age of 11, Ruby lost her dad. At the age of 13, Ruby lost her mom. This is a real story. She was telling this story to the Congress. And because she was alone, someone contacted her via through Facebook and tricked her into a job 700 kilometers away from her house at the age of 16. She was then asked to demonstrate things that she even feels so ashamed of telling people. She was to perform show in front of the customers online. She was to speak to the camera. She would do things that no 16-year-old, if in fact no one, should do. She wanted to escape, but she couldn't. She didn't have the money. Was trapped in a house, and she was told that she have to work until she could pay off her debt. And that debt, including her food, her accommodation, slavery is still happening in the world today. She felt like suffocating, overcoming with sadness. She cried, but no one listened. This one, she took a phone. She wanted to make a phone call, but it was disconnected. She screamed for help whenever she hears sirens, police passing by. But one of the women grabbed a knife and wanted to stab her because they were also afraid. Cry for help. No one listened. And just once, she heard a loud bang on the door. She yelled for help. By the grace of God, through the work of international justice missions, they contacted the local police and they set this group of women free. Ruby then got to know the Lord. and started her healing journey. Every day for her was a reminder of abuse. During her trials, she has to face her traffickers. But God rescued her and enabled her to forgive her traffickers. My brothers and sisters in Christ, there is power in the gospel of Jesus Christ. When she stood up there, she's only 20-something years old. She finished her college in 2019. And she said that today, I'm a survivor. Why? Because Jesus has changed my life. This is the gospel that we have. Never underestimate the gospel of Jesus Christ. No matter what you're going through today, no matter how difficult it is, Jesus is truly the answer. Jesus is truly the answer. Talking about forgetting what lies behind, Ruby has shown us. She was so brave. And by the end of it, there were no dry eyes, because we all knew that it took a lot for Ruby to tell her story. How do we continue to make Christ known and to know Christ? Is to pursue Christ with other mature believers. Now, Paul says, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He says that let those of us who are mature think this way. Everyone say mature. Let us who are mature think this way. And if in anything you think otherwise, God will reveal that also to you. The question is, who are you following today? Who are you chasing after? Whose examples should we follow? Paul says, I press on toward the goals. Paul says, follow me as I follow Christ. What a bold statement to make. Follow me as I follow Christ. Whose example should we follow? I want to tell you another story. The story of an Iranian pastor. You may not know this. So we had this pastor. I will not tell you his name. 15 years ago, he attended the Congress. Shortly after he returned, he was jailed for 5 years. Now, when we were there, we all were given a card, like a lanyard. So a participant is in this color. If you are staff, it's in pink. If you come from a sensitive country, it's in white. The whole lanyard is white, and there is a sign to say that do not take photo. A lot of people have taken great risks to attend. Now, this pastor, he was very bold. He came out, he was sharing his story of an Iranian pastor that 5 years ago he went, he got caught, and he jailed for 5 years. And then he was telling us, I hope this time around when I go back, I don't need to be jailed. I mean, wow. Talking about strong faith. Talking about bold faith. His mother is actually a Quran teacher. And he became a believer, and he felt the joy of God inside his heart. He went to UK, studied Bible college. He went back, he planted a church. And he said came back to Iran, and he started a church, underground church with two families. And in 10 years, he planted 40 churches in over 20 cities. In 26th of December 2010, all pastors were arrested, including him. And he spent, he spent 361 days in a 2x2 cell with no sunlight. No sunlight. He was crying out to God. He was praying. And the Lord spoke to him through Psalm 27. That I, the Lord your God, is your light and salvation. the word of God make flesh in him. His heart is then filled with the love and the joy and the peace and the strength of God. Just like Paul, this letter, the book of Philippians, is penned when he's in prison. Such joy. After 361 days, he came out. What did he do? Continue to proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ. Whose example should we follow? My dear friends, let us follow examples of mature ones. Amen. Follow Christ. But we as human beings, we also need to see who are the mature around us, who are the mature among us. Let us follow. Let us be strong, let us be bold, and let us be courageous. And today, I'm very happy and glad to tell you, do you know which country has the fastest growing church in the world right now? Take a wild guess. Very wise, Meiji, Iran. Is right now the fastest growing church in the world. You will never hear this in the news. You know what you will hear? You will hear that Iran has just launched 180 missiles bombing Israel. And you hear that. But you will not hear what God is doing in that country. But I'm here to tell this. God is building his church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Can I get an amen for that? That God is building his church. God is building his global church. God is building this church. And now is the time for us not to retreat, but to advance. The gates of hell shall not prevail. Are there challenges? Of course. Would there be difficulties? Of course. But is God with us? Is God for us? One thing I take back is this. The church, the true church of Jesus Christ, will never be destroyed. And then we had a Chinese pastor come and share. So when a Chinese pastor come and share, the live broadcast is then shut down. You can hear the audio, but you can't see the face. We are then instructed not to take photo. But I do not know why people still take photo and put it on social media. Anyway, you know, he was sharing this story. He was saying that at one stage, the government chased out all the missionaries in China. But God has a sense of humor. Because they chased out all the missionaries in China, the Christians in China have to be self-sustaining. They did it so well, the church grew like a wildfire. So on the stage, he thanked the atheist government for chasing all the foreign missionaries, and he gave glory to Jesus. And then China became one of the fastest growing church in the world. You see, the church of Jesus Christ will never die. Patrick Fong, the global ambassador of OMF International, he made this profound statement, which resonates in my heart, and I will encourage each of us. He said, persecution does not kill the church, but a compromised gospel will. Persecution does not kill the church, but a compromised gospel will. By the grace of God, as a church, we will always boldly proclaim and preach the whole counsel of God without any fear. So, church, in closing, I want to encourage all of us to pursue Christ wholeheartedly together. To proclaim the gospel courageously together and to press on and keep pressing on joyfully together. And the people of God say, amen and amen. Come, let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you, Lord, that you are the one true God. We thank you that you say in your word that on this rock I will build my church and the gates of hell shall not prevail. We thank you, Lord Jesus, and whenever we hear stories of your people standing boldly for you, whenever we hear the story of you doing a mighty work around the world, we thank you that you are sovereign. We thank you that you are building your church. We thank you, Lord God, that you are sweeping across the nations with your might and your power. But what does it mean for us as a local church here? We thank you that we are the people of God, that we are called, that we are chosen. I pray for every single one of us here, Lord Jesus. I pray that you will cast out all fear in our lives, oh Father. I pray, Father, that no doubt to rest in our hearts. I pray for fear to depart in this house, but instead, courage, boldness, strength, peace, joy, love shall flood this house, oh God. And that we, your people, will boldly proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ until the day of Christ. Bless your people, Lord God, we pray. In Jesus' name, and the people of God say, amen and amen. Let us all stand.